Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, first show of the off season for us. Very excited. We've got a lot to talk about, and we've got a great guest today.
We do. I'm excited. We'll get to him in just a second here. You know, it's a great time to be a Bears fan. I mean, this is the hope season, coming off the 3-13, 3-14 season. Of course, is just brutal. But, you know, we had a good time watching the Justin Fields, his development. You know, some of the young players look nice. And, you know, number one draft pick, about $100 million in cap space. Hope is there for Bears fans right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You had EJ Snyder on just last night, right? Talking about the Shrine Bowl. So you got to talk to my other podcast partner about his experience there. He's there with Brett Coleman, bootleg guys. They're doing a lot of really good stuff. Another guy who's doing a lot of really cool draft stuff for Windy City Gridiron, and of course his work on Barroom, is Greg Gabriel, and we are really thrilled to welcome Greg Gabriel to Bear and Balance. Greg, welcome.
Wow. Hi, how you guys doing? I finally see your faces. We talk on the phone, we email each other, but I've never seen anybody's face, so good to see you guys.
Technology is a beautiful thing. I'm very tech deficient for the most part, but it's good. Yeah, it's good to finally have a chance to meet face to face. We've talked on the phone quite a bit, obviously email, text all the time, but you know, it's good to kind of get on here and talk about it, because you know, you have a great perspective. You know, you're down at the Shrine Bowl, you're involved with the Shrine Bowl, and you know, it's a great time. Are you excited for the Bears upcoming off season?
Yeah, you think you have to be, but having sat in the office for as long as I did, you know, I you see stuff on Twitter, and not that I'm trying to be obnoxious or anything, but it's not close to reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think right now, as of today, there's 94 million in cap space, because there's guys, you know, draft choices that, outplay their contract, so to speak, so they get incentives added, so they're making more money in the last year of their rookie contract. So that took some money away, and they're going to have to extend some players that they want to extend. But they also got to save money for some big extensions down the road, including Justin Fields. And speaking of Justin Fields, some of these rumors that have been going around in the last week that, you know, the Bears were trying to move him. Now, I believe there could be some teams that may have called and say, is he available? But for them to say, we're thinking about chopping, it was the most ludicrous thing I have ever heard in all the years I've been involved in this. Why would you even think for one second that after you've got a quarterback that has been through 2 years, and really this was his rookie year all over again, being that it was a new offense. And when you think about it, he's played in three different offenses the last three seasons. Yeah. Ohio State, he's in one offense. Then he comes here and he's in Nagy's offense. And now he's in Getsy's offense. So it's like he hasn't settled in yet. And he had plus they brought in a bunch of new players last year. He had to get on the same page with them. It's a very difficult offense to learn. So I think all they were trying to do this year was really lay the foundation. But you got knuckleheads around the league that are not around the league and in media and stuff that, oh yeah, they might trade him, he didn't do as good as they wanted. So what? So they can take a lesser guy this year? Because there isn't a quarterback in this draft that isn't anywhere close to what Justin Fields was when he came out 2 years ago.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, Greg. And I would say that we don't want to say it too loud, because we do want some teams to be interested in moving up into that number one pick. But we'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about the Shrine Bowl. So some of our listeners may not be familiar with your background. You were a longtime scout. You've been in a lot of rooms, a lot of buildings. So you bring a really great perspective. been writing some great articles on Windy City Gridiron. So if you haven't checked those out, please go to Windy City Gridiron. Check out Greg's byline. He's been doing great work all year, really shedding a light on a lot of things that most of us don't have a good background on. But I want to talk about the Shrine Bowl specifically, because you have some level of involvement there. So I want to ask you that up front. Talk to us about the Shrine Bowl, what it's about, and how you got involved.
I really got involved a year ago, close to 2 years ago. A friend of mine, Eric Galco, and Eric, I've known Eric for years, but he worked in the XFL like I did. So we were part of XFL 2020 that, because of the pandemic, didn't last too long. Five full games, but there was a full year of work leading up to those five games. And Eric was the director of player personnel for the league. And I was the director of player personnel for the Washington franchise, the DC Defenders. There was no general manager. The head coach was the so-called general manager, who for that franchise was Pep Hamilton, a name that everybody should be familiar with, being that he was on Lovey's staff here as a quarterback coach. And a longtime coach, both in college and the league, and I think a great coach myself. But anyway, when Eric got involved, for the 2022 East-West Shrine, Eric got involved in the heat of running it. And they moved it to Vegas after last year's game. Then the league got more involved. The league has taken over, or has basically named that game as the college all-star game that they are backing. So the Senior Bowl has held that for years and years and years. And it's nothing against the Senior Bowl. I think that, the way I hear it, the league wanted the Senior Bowl to move. They weren't about to move. And so the league said, well, then we're back in the East-West. And that's why you saw full coaching staffs there. Now it's going to take a couple years for the rosters to change hands, so to speak, because of the tradition of the Senior Bowl. But the roster this year was pretty good. But I'm on, Eric asked me then, I did some scouting for the East-West last year. Then this year he asked me to be on the board of advisors with about four or five other people. So constantly having, phone conversations, just trying to make the product better and get better players. So a lot of that had to do with, getting a hold of agents, dealing with agents, and where it used to be college players couldn't have agents. Well, technically they can't have a contract agent right now, but they can have an agent for NIL. And a lot of times the guy who's doing the NIL stuff is going to end up doing his contract too. So college players now have agents. So the whole atmosphere of college football has really changed in the last couple of years because of NIL. The league wants to tie the East-West game in with the Pro Bowl week. They did it last year. Last year, they got a late start. They didn't have much of attendance. The game kicks off right around now, I think. Yeah. I think they sold 25 to 30,000 tickets for that game. Now, going back, and you guys might not remember this because we're going back into the 80s, but the East-West is the oldest all-star game. It's been going on for almost 100 years. You're going back to 1925 was the first year, and I didn't know that, by the way, until like 2 days ago when I looked it up. and I'd been going since 1985, I think, was my first year going out there. But it used to be out in Palo Alto at Stanford, at the old Stanford Stadium, and it was the Shriners sponsored the game, and it was like a West Coast Shriners convention. And they had that old Stanford Stadium could hold 75,000 people, and it was packed. There were 70 to 75,000 at that game every single year. And the quality of the players was excellent. And then they moved the game out of Stanford. They had it up at the baseball stadium, the new baseball stadium, for a year. And it just, the people that were running it just weren't doing as good a job promoting it. It started to go downhill. So, and it moved around. It was at about four different places over the course of, say, the last 15 years or so. And now it's hopefully settling in Las Vegas and tied in with the Pro Bowl activities each week. And it'll come back as a, you know, a real good all-star game for players to attend, and especially with that NFL involvement now.
Yeah, I think that's key. If the NFL's involvement now, I think they want that to be the premier college all-star game. Like, you know, when I was younger, like you said, it was the top all-star game, and the better players would go there and turn into Senior Bowl. But if you had a choice to go to Mobile, Alabama, or go to Las Vegas, I'm going to Vegas.
You know, what's funny is, and it ended up not working out, but originally, based on records, the Bears and Houston were supposed to coach this. And so nobody thought that Lovie Stapp was getting fired, especially given the fact that, you know, a year ago they had an African-American coach. He got fired after 1 year, and nobody in their right mind thought there's no way they're going to fire another African-American coach after just one season. And so, in fact, I had, you know, Eric was talking to the Bears. I was talking to Houston. Eric had talked to the general manager. They basically had agreed to do the game. And I was talking to Pep a lot. I didn't really talk to Lovie. But the whole reason being is the top senior quarterback in the draft this year is Will Levis from Kentucky.
Yeah.
So we were working on getting Levis to play in that game and be on the team that Houston coached. And because, you know, Houston has a quarterback need, and they'd have a week with them, and it would really give them a jump start on the evaluation process of him. And, you know, Pep had talked to his agent. He had talked to the kid. We hadn't had a deal quite yet, but then they got fired and all that went down the drain, and the Bears decided not to coach in it. And it really had nothing to do with the game. It was really the importance of this off season. And if you're going to coach in that game, you've got to send your whole staff out there. And it's not just your coaching staff. It's your personnel staff, or most of your personnel staff. You got all your video people. There's a lot of people from Hallis Hall that would have been out there. So it's like, basically it's like being on the road. You're taking your team on a road game, and they're out there for a whole week. And Ryan did not think that was the best idea for the Bears this year, being the importance of this offseason, because that would take away from, you know, having as many people as he wanted down at the Senior Bowl. It would take away from coaches who weren't going to be at the Senior Bowl doing evaluation on free agents, et cetera. So he just thought the time could be more useful if they weren't involved this year. And to be honest with you, I can't blame him.
I think you bring up some good points, and hitting a couple questions that we had for you. I think the first one, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, and I saw you had a tweet earlier today where you're saying, people are overreacting to what they're seeing in these all-star game practices, right? And I kind of want to ask that question because I think it's pretty natural for people to get pretty excited about, you know, watching one-on-one reps at these all-star games, because you get to watch this guy against that guy, and they're not used to watching practices, right? Like, this is something new and all that. So put it into context for us. How should the fan that's at home and following these all-star game practices and games, how should they really take that into account when they're evaluating these prospects for who are potentially going to be in the draft and on their favorite team?
Well, I'm going to answer it this way. And number one, I get where draft analysts and the fans are coming from, because this is their opportunity to you get TV tape or whatever. Some people might be fortunate enough to get real game tape, but it's there. A lot of people go down to Mobile for that game, and it's their, and there were a lot out in Vegas, you know, earlier this week to watch the practices for that. But it's their first opportunity to really see people live. But here's the reality, and the way the pro people look at it, it's just a small piece of the puzzle. The most important part of the process is what they already did from September through November. And in case if they were in a bowl game, through December, what they did during the season. Some of these kids now, they haven't played football in over a month. And in some cases, if their team wasn't in a bowl game, they haven't played 2 months. And they might be getting ready for the combine, but they haven't played real football. And so they're a little bit rusty. You use it. Actually, one of the most important things for the pro scouts and stuff, it's not the practice. And first of all, the game doesn't mean anything. It's what you see in practice that they're looking at. But it's getting the interviews in. Because at the combine, you're only allowed to interview 60 people. You got 335 people at the combine, give or take a couple. And you always have a huge number of underclassmen that are in the draft. And underclassmen can't play in the All-Star game. So who are you going to interview at the combine? As many of the top underclassmen as you can, because it's your first opportunity to see them. So what do all the teams do? They send a bunch of people to these different All-Star games, and there's like four of them, maybe five of them now, because the Hula Bowl is back. And how about the Hula Bowl was in Orlando this year? That makes a lot of sense. But the
wait for it to go back to Hawaii, and then I'll try to get credentialed.
Anyway, you can spend more than 15 minutes with a kid, and you can get a lot of work out of the way. So now, come a month from now when the combine, or 3.5 weeks from now when the combine starts, you don't have to worry about interviewing that guy. You got it done. And you can move on to the underclassmen. We used to have an old saying, and this goes back. I started with the Giants, and at the end of 84, I was with National Scouting for the 84 season and then the spring 84. And even when I was with the Bills part-time from 81 to 84, you know, the saying was at the All-Star Games is a player can't hurt himself at the All-Star Games, but he can help himself if he has a real good week. Because you don't want to – he can have a bad week that – and part of it could be for what I said just a couple minutes ago. He hasn't played football in 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. And so you're not going to downgrade him for that because he had a sloppy – 3 days of practice. Now, don't forget, none of these guys are brought together. They've never been with each other before. You know, so everything is new. It's a new tailored down offense. They've never worked with these guys as teammates before. So it's all just put together really, really quick. You have a couple meetings, you have a few practices, maybe two intense practices. So how can you overreact to what you see in that little bit of time? You don't. So, but if a kid really jumps out, and let's say you catch things in practice that you didn't see during the fall when you were making school calls during the fall, then you can say, hey, wait, I missed that. So now let's go back and look at some more tape. And maybe there's, find out why you missed it or whatever. Where the guys that really benefit are the small school kids, because you're seeing them play against better competition. You know, you take an FCS kid or a Division II kid or whatever, and there was a Division III kid that was invited to East West from Quincy College here in Illinois, but he could not – he was at the game, but he couldn't play. He's got a boot. He's got a broken foot or something. But he was there to be interviewed and weighed and measured. Big kid that dominated, like, Division III competition. But if he could have taken part in the practices, you would have seen – how he was able to compete against guys who played at Power Five type schools during the year. And then you're seeing if he's really is a prospect or he was just the big fish in the small pond at Division III.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of small school guys that are really showing out now. And, you know, that's what these staffs are, especially with the East West, because like you said, it's not the same level as the Senior Bowl quite yet. So you're looking for those diamonds in the rough, so those day three, some undrafted free agent types. So the Bears, you said they didn't want to commit the whole staff, you know, to the whole week down there. But quite a few of the staff was there. I think I saw a picture of you talking to Ryan Poles at some point on Twitter. So there were quite a few members of the Bears staff there, or was the whole staff there in the early part of the practices?
Well, Ian was there. Ryan was there. Jeff, I think pretty much the whole scouting staff was there.
Yeah.
Or close to it. And they stayed through Monday morning and then headed down to Mobile. But the weather, I don't think they were all there Monday because the weather sucked in Las Vegas. It was cold and rainy. It's in the desert. It's not supposed to rain, but it was cold and rainy on Monday. And so I think some of them got out of Dodge a little bit early, went down to Mobile because they had interviews available for the, even though there's no practice on Monday, there were interviews available Monday afternoon in Mobile. But they were there. I had a nice chat with Ryan for about an hour, but I can't really say everything. Only because then you're betraying confidences. Exactly. And then hey, when you get an opportunity to talk again, you say, hey, screw you, you know.
No. We would never push that.
But I'll tell you, it was a very, very interesting conversation, and I think he really opened up. He gave me a lot of information that'll, you know, I got a pretty good idea of what he wants to do.
Yeah.
What you want to do and what you can do are always two different things, because you're competing against 31 other clubs. And right now, reality is, and a lot of it's free agency. That comes first. What happens in free agency is going to depend what happens in the draft. You know, people want to have all these mock drafts, but they're meaningless until you get through that first big phase of free agency. And depending on how they're able to acquire players and or lose players in free agency, that'll have a lot to do with what they do in the draft come the end of April.
Absolutely. I know that you're involved on the board level of the Shrine Bowl. I know you're invested in a lot of these guys that came to this game. You're there, you're talking to people, coaches, GMs, scouts all across the league. Are there some guys that kind of popped a little bit this week? You mentioned guys that can help themselves, right? Some of the smaller school guys getting a chance to go against some of the bigger school guys. A couple of
I got a roster here, but I hope I got the right ones here.
Okay.
Because what I do is when a guy kind of jumped out and did something in practice that jumped out, I just marked his name on one of these rosters I have. And then I don't have one of these in front of me. It must be in my other notebook. But anyway, that told me I got to go back and look at more tape, you know, because it just that he did something that I like. But let me see. I can give you a few names here. I got both rosters here. Yep. Okay. Looking at the West, and I'll just give you a few. Okay, DeMario Douglas, a wide receiver from Liberty, jumped out. There's a little running back that's real quick from UCLA, Alan Kazmir. You know, he jumped out in practices. Ibrahim Mohammed from University of Minnesota jumped out. Another running back. The cornerback from Minnesota, Terrell Smith. I didn't really look at the DBs that much. Along the line.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Bear with me, guys.
Oh, that's a good show name. real-time processing information here.
I mean, the good thing about this is the Bears need help everywhere. So all these guys you're mentioning are guys that could, you know, presumably be in play for the Bears because they need help up and down the roster.
Baldonado, an edge player from Pittsburgh. P.J. Mustafer.
Uh-oh.
He would be a one technique in the Bears defense if they were to draft him. He jumped out a little bit on the other team.
Greg, could Sam Mustafer block P.J. Mustafer effectively in practices? How would that go? You got him one-on-one. Who you got your money on?
PJ.
Yep. Okay.
He's I don't know if he's bigger. He's 315. Sam gets killed. Okay, what Sam is he's not a starter in the NFL. He's a good backup.
He is.
Yep, absolutely.
That was put into a position that he had to play because of injuries and ended up having to play, I think, all but one game and all of last year. Okay, now next year, if he's on the 53, I think it'll be strictly as a backup. Now, I think the coaching staff likes him because he's very smart, and he can come in off the bench and he can hold his own. And I think, let's be honest, I think the second half of the season he played a lot better than he did in the first half of the season. But is he what you want? You know, that's what the answer is that, you know, you want to upgrade at certain areas along that team. And I think that, you know, the biggest position right now going into the offseason along the offensive line that they want to upgrade is right tackle. And that's like number one. I'm not sure about center because I know they really like Patrick. And Pat, is it fair to say, well, Patrick didn't play good? Okay, granted. But he was also playing guard. He was also hurt. And he's not a good guard. But if you look at his tape from 20 and 21 at Green Bay when he was their starting center for, I think, started 14 games in 21 for Green Bay, he played damn good. So are you going to close the door on him because of an injury-filled season, or are you going to, you know, bring him back and say he's our center? And that's for the coaching staff and the front office to determine. You know, my guess is that they're going to say he's our center next year. And, you know, and they want to have probably more competition, whether that's Sam Mustafa or the kid they drafted last year from Illinois, or they bring in somebody else this year. That remains to be seen. We'll find that out over the course of the next few months.
Yeah, it seems like they should upgrade there on the interior. You know, they got Tevin Jenkins at right guard. I thought had a really nice year. He had some injuries he's battled through. But over at left guard is Cody Whitehair, and he's got a big cap hit number. And, you know, he's getting up there in age, and he plays a little inconsistent. You never want to get rid of a guy unless you have a replacement ready for him. But do you see Cody Whitehair as a guy that still has a future on this team?
Looking at his contract, I think you're going to, you know, I don't think these guys want to waste money like they spent last year doing that.
Yeah.
Cleaning house. And, you know, I kind of found out why in the course of my conversation, you know, and he, you know, I think that if he wasn't in the plans, he would have already been shipped out, because those, you know, in most cases, those guys are gone. And you know, what I do believe, and I might be going fast forward here, is that, say, in free agency, unless the guy is really healthy, you know, throughout his career, doesn't have an injury background, so to speak, that most of the players he's going to go after are going to be kind of young. If he hits a guy that's 30 or 31, he's going to be a healthy 30 or 31. So he can get a good, say, 3 years out of the guy, because he doesn't want to bring in people that are broken. And he's not going to get, you know, he, like Patrick has been healthy his whole career, but he got hurt this year. He doesn't want that to happen. Now, sometimes you can't help it. But if you get a guy that's already been injured three or four times in the course of his career and missed a lot of time, why are you going to bring him in? Yeah. It's just, you know, you're just putting good money after bad, or bad money after good money, you know, to do that. And I just don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to get young, but he also needs leadership. So there could be an opportunity for some 28, 29-year-olds, if they've got a lot of gas in the tank and they're healthy.
Yeah, so like Javon Hargrave from the Eagles looks like he's going to come due for a free agent contract. You know, the Eagles may not be able to afford him. He's 30, right?
He's 30, yeah. And I don't know. I haven't looked First thing, you can go to Pro Football Reference and it'll tell you how many games he's played, how many games he started. So, and that's the first thing, but you don't always know about the injuries. And some of that shows up just on the reports that go out every week. If he's missing practice, if he's been out or limited in practice, and you keep track of that stuff, you're getting it all the time. So it's documented when you have in your pro scouting files, you have all that documentation on every player in the league so that when he does come up for free agency, you've got a file, you know exactly what the problem was. And they got to say, okay, he's limited because of a knee, limited because of an ankle now. And then you can do some research to find out exactly what it was.
Yeah, the Bears are going to have, like we talked about, a lot of money. And if you look at those top free agents, the franchise tag will be in play with some of these teams. We'll kind of see what happens. I know with Washington, with Payne, the 49ers with the right tackle McGlinchey. There's a lot of guys that would fit. Like I said, Bears need everything. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they attack this offseason. And they kind of see who's available for them, see who doesn't get re-signed. But
And that's going to be the key, too, is who. Yep. Like Washington right now, you look at their cap and you go, how are they going to be able to do it? As far as Daron Payne goes, but then you look at the guy who's getting the most money, Carson Wentz, they can cut him and there's not a penny they lose on it. There's no cap hit at all because the other teams that had him before have already taken care of the bonuses. It's just like $25 million comes off the books the day you cut him, and he's not coming back. So right away, that could give them enough money to re-sign Payne. But then you look at it, too, where the other defensive tackle is going to have a cap hit of around $18 million. The other defensive end is coming due for an extension. And Young, who was the first pick in the draft, and he's been dinged up, he's going to be due to get extended. And it's like, how much money do they want to put into the defensive line? Now, they're on record saying we want to keep him. Mm-hmm. But wanting to keep him and keeping him and just be, you got to spread your money around. And do you want to throw all that money into one position? And that'll be one of the interesting things that we'll find out over the course of really going to find out before March 15th. So over the course of the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see where the Bears are able to try to put some of that money into. They got to free up from their teams. And that's kind of the first step. Well, as I understand it, every offseason you evaluate your own talent. You decide whether or not you're going to let them walk out the door. You're going to bring them back. We talked a little bit about Cody Whyter. Cody Whyter is under contract. That's a different conversation. That's, can you replace him with somebody else? But the one guy that I think that people have a lot of strong opinions on, and that's David Montgomery. Second round pick, he's a fan favorite. He's a guy that a lot of people like. Then you got that other side of things where people are like, you don't pay a running back second contract. His yards per carry isn't very high. You can replace his production. You can get better on the open market, or you can maybe go into the draft and recycle. And then there's a lot of Khalil Herbert fans. So where are you at with the David Montgomery question?
If it was me, if I can get him at a reasonable price for a two-year deal, and maybe I'd stretch to three, but not more than three, I'd do it. A lot of it, he's real, real valuable in the locker room. Okay, he has had some injuries, not debilitating, but he has missed some time. But his game meshes well with Herbert's, with the other running backs, with Khalil. And he can do things that Khalil can't do. He's a better pass blocker. He's a better receiver. He's not the open field runner. He doesn't have the home run speed. So they complement each other really well. But you want to be able to afford him, and you don't want to overpay him. So I think, again, I'm speaking where I'd come. If I can get him, I'd try to do a two-year deal, and maybe you can have a two-year deal and an option. Of course, he's going to want a four-year deal. But you can let him test the open market. He may find out that, it's a running back and he isn't going to get anything. Because you talk to people around the league and that's what they go. Remember there was talk going into the trade deadline that he could be a guy that would be traded. And I was talking to some friends of mine around the league, and they go, why would they want to trade him? They can't get anything. He's a running back.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's the, you know, and you'd see on Twitter, oh, you might be able to get a third. And in reality, people are saying, well, you might get a seventh, you know, because he's a running back. And now, then people bring up, well, Barkley might be a free agent. Well, I worked for the Giants for 17 years, and I've got a lot of friends there, and I talked to their director of player personnel out at the East West, who I've known for years. And he is a Mara, even though his last name is Mara, his mother is. he said, no, we're doing everything we can to bring him and the quarterback back. They're both out of contract.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like plan number one is bring both of those guys back, and they got to find a way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably not the best year for Montgomery to be a free agent running back because, you know, you already mentioned one of them. You know, Miles Sanders is a free agent. The guy from the Raiders is a free agent. So there's some guys out there, the Pollard with the Cowboys. So there's a few guys that probably are higher profile than Montgomery. But like you said, you know, those intangibles, you know, his ability, you know, in the passing game, you know, that's key, his ability to pass block. And then the leadership in the locker room. I mean, this.
Yeah, that, you know, that the leadership in the locker room means a lot because you got to, and sometimes it never gets spoken about, but how key guys are in the locker room with their teammates, it tells you a lot about whether you want to bring a guy back. Sometimes it can mean overpaying him $1 million or something because of his value in the locker room.
Oh, that's good stuff. I'm wondering what else you have in store for our readership coming up on the NFL draft. We got a lot of really fun stuff coming up. We're at the All-Star Games happening right now. The Shrine Bowl is happening right now. Senior Bowl is happening here soon. Then we're going to go on to like the Combine. We're going to, you know, all that hype leading up to the draft. Do you have any plans for us, the readers of Windy City Gridiron, of what you're going to share leading up to the draft this year?
Yeah, what I want to do is, like I've been doing, is kind of when things come up, walk through the process. You know, what's it about? How things really happen? Like, you know, in a few weeks, I'll be going down to Indy for the Combine. So I'll write some stuff. Okay, what do you get out of the Combine? What's the purpose of the Combine? And to the average fan, it's the workout. And to the team, the workout's really the last thing. You know, it's because you've always, okay, let's say the workout is an exam. The pro day is the makeup day. So, but you can't make up the medical.
Yep.
You know, and that's important. The Combine came into existence. The first one they had was in 1985. It was out at Arizona State. And that was the first Combine as we know it. Before that, there was three different combines going on, and they were like over a period of 3 or 4 weeks because you had three different scouting services. There was Blesto, National Scouting, and then there was a combine that probably none of you guys ever heard of called Quadra. And Quadra was San Francisco, Buffalo, Seattle, and Dallas. So they each had their own little combine. And then in 80, you know, some players would go to two but wouldn't go to the third. And you know, so it was just kind of crazy. And then they all got together and said, wait a minute, let's just do this all together. And everybody's going to be part of it. And that happened for the first time. And I was at that one. And it was at Arizona State. They picked Arizona State because it's not supposed to rain in the month. The chance of rain in the month of January, Harry Buffington was running National Scouting at the time, was supposed to be like 8%. 2 days it rained. So there goes your 8%. But and then the following year, it was at New Orleans. Is actually after Super Bowl, the week following Super Bowl 20 that the Bears won. And then the next year was at Indy, and it's been there ever since.
It's the St. Elmo Steakhouse just kept everybody coming back, or what's the pull of Indy? You know, inside? Or
the league wants to put it up for bid, and the teams, the personnel people fight it. Because it's the location of Indy, the location of have you guys been down there for the combine at all? Okay. No. So you know what it's like. You don't need a car.
It's a nice city. I've been to the city a few times.
Yeah. When I was working here for the Bears, I drove my car, parked my car at the hotel we were staying at, and I never saw it again for a week, you know, because you walk everywhere. And, you know, everything's no more than a 5-minute walk away, 10 minutes at most. And so you just don't need your car. It's just so easy to get around from one hotel to the other, to the dome where they, they have the workouts, to the players' hotel where they have the interviews and stuff. It just makes it so simple, where if you take it somewhere else, now all of a sudden things are going to be spread out. And now you're going to have logistical problems, and that's not what the other teams want.
Yeah, it's a nice city. I mean, it's in the Midwest. It's right there in the center. I mean, it's easy access. You know, I would like for it to be, a little closer to where I live in the Chicagoland area, somewhere up in this area, or maybe Milwaukee or something like that. But it's nice. I know it's Indianapolis. I've been there a few times. It is a nice city, and I can't see them ever leaving. I mean, what's the point if the league wants it there? I mean, the leagues get what the league wants. That's why the East West is getting at that level now where they're able to compete with the Senior Bowl. So it's good stuff there in Indy.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, and if you talk to the general managers or personnel directors at every club, they're going to all – not one is going to give you a nay vote on Indy.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, Greg. I really appreciate you taking the time to come hop on, talk Shrine Bowl with us, talk Bears stuff with us. Really love the work you're doing. Again, I'm going to give it another plug. Go read Greg's stuff on Windy City Gridiron. It's invaluable. You'll learn so much. And, of course – I want to let you plug your podcast as well, where people can go in and listen to you, even though it's not on the Windy City Gridiron podcast channel, but feel free to plug where everybody
Well, it's Gabriel Talks Football on the Barroom Network. And, once a week, and actually now it's going to be every other week during the off season. But it's same as what we're doing now.
It's good stuff over there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we just, talk, and we do get some questions, from people that are, they're live, they type them in. So you get some, and I like that feedback. I could do Q&A all day. I think that's a riot. I almost wish you could hear some voices instead of having it typed in, but it is what it is. I don't know if we're that far into the technology yet. And when it comes to technology, I'm the wrong guy to talk to. So
we'll see if we can get some radio hit spots. People call into and leave a message and say, "Hey, Greg, want to hear about so and so," and then we can play them for you, and then you can answer those. But what we'll do, Greg, is we're gonna end the podcast here, and then we'll have you stick around for just a couple minutes, and we've got some people that are on our live YouTube that have typed in some questions for you. We'll run through those, but that's a YouTube special. We will we'll end the podcast here. Lester and I will come back probably in a week or two, and we're going to try to bring on more guests. And I think we're going to try to go through the Bears roster, try to hit up some free agency stuff. I'd like to get Brad Spielberger on to talk about free agency, what he's seeing in the landscape, and what the Bears have at their disposal, how they can use and structure some of those contracts with that $95 million. Any final words, Lester, before we kill the podcast here?
Am I supposed to stay on then for these?
Yeah, just
stick on. Okay. Well, we got some questions here for you. So, yeah, stick on.
Okay.
Just wrap it up, JB. We're out of here.
All right, man. Sounds good. All right, guys. Stick with us. And until next time, bear down.